Today, we get a couple of parables that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Mark. These parables, you know, the first one, the sower throws the seed on the ground, and he sleeps, and he goes through his days, and he sleeps, and he goes through his days, and the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how it grows, it just does. And then, at the end, when it is ripe, he goes back and he harvests the seed. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like that. Well, okay, if you say so, all right. Then he goes on, he says, now how do we talk about the kingdom of God? He says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest little seed, and you throw it on the ground, and it becomes this great bush, this huge shrub, the largest of shrubs. Isn't it like the largest of shrubs? I mean, like the I don't know. It's like the biggest small thing, right? It's like, this is the largest subcompact economy car. We're like, well, what's the largest isn't the point. What are you talking about? Anyway, but the largest of shrubs, and birds flourish in it, and it's all good. He says, that is what the kingdom of God is like. And maybe Jesus' original audience really understood what he was talking about. Maybe they knew these plants. Maybe they knew something about the kingdom of God. Maybe this made more sense to them than it does to me today. What I do know is that the kingdom of God, well, first of all, we talk about the kingdom of God, it has lots of names. So let's go through and talk about some of the other names for the kingdom of God so we can point to what it is and we can start to talk about what we mean by that. It's kind of an elusive concept. So you got the kingdom of God, you got the kingdom of heaven, you've got the reign of God, like R-E-I-G-N, like something reigning over. You've got the realm of God. That one has been popular in recent years in the scholarship, as I understand. And you've also got the beloved community. Those are just the ones I could come up with off the top of my head whenever I wrote this list down. There's others as well. But there's all these ways to talk about the good and blessed existence that God wants for each of us and for all of us together. It's the world as God wants it to be. A world of peace and justice and love and care for one another. A world that doesn't have violence or racism or fear or hunger or want. But a world in which people share and grow and laugh and can be joyful together. And each has their needs met by the community. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It's a world where people know the love of God and they share that love with one another freely, without fear, without hoarding, or without thinking, oh, I need to get mine and keep those people, without, you know, that scarcity. The kingdom of God is an existence of abundance and mutuality and trust in God and in one another. So, I think as I think about those ideas, as I think about those terms for this blessed existence together, I think today I'm going to go with the term beloved community. That was a term, you know, popularized in this country by Martin Luther King Jr., as well as some others. And it does a good job of kind of helping us think about what this is. It's a community in which we're all together, in which we are all loved by God, in which we can learn to love one another. So this beloved community, I think, is the goal of what we're trying to do, what we're trying to be as the church. Hope Church, just the, you know, the gathered people here and the folks who aren't here today, you know, is in some ways a pretty nice example of a beloved community. People who know that they are loved and they love one another. Doesn't always mean you get along perfectly every minute of every day, but people who are working together toward a common goal, building relationships, trusting one another, caring for one another. You know, we do okay, I think, as Hope Church, being beloved community together. The hard part is when we branch out and build new relationships and new partnerships and expand that community beyond sort of ourselves, our bubbles. And so, you know, the beloved community also is our relationship with Good Samaritan. And that one goes pretty well. You know, we have a lot of trust and we have a lot of respect and a lot of love and enough food to keep it all going in our relationship with folks from Good Samaritan. And then you've got the relationships with the other churches, you know, with Ebenezer Elim now and with Heaven Citizenship and, of course, with the Montessori School, all on our place there. We share this space. And of course, after a year of not sharing the space, a year of being away from that space, those relationships are going to have to be regrown and rebuilt and trust reestablished. And so it's going to be more work to get to a place of beloved community. You know, we were close last year. We were almost ready to have worship all together. It was going to be nuts. And hopefully we can do that again yet this year, maybe in the fall. I don't know. Got to talk to some people and figure some stuff out. The beloved community also is the goal of the partnership we have with the other Eastside ELCA churches, with Our Redeemer and Grace and Arlington Hills. And we're going to be having worship outside with them a couple of times this summer, the last Sundays in July and in August. And so, and we're going to share an intern with them in the fall, a full-time person is going to work between the four churches, helping us build those relationships, helping us with projects individually throughout that time. And it's going to be good. And the goal, again, is to build beloved community, build trust with one another, build a place where people's needs are being met, build a place where people can be joyful, can worship God together in their own authentic expression in community with others who may be like them and who may not be like them. Also, the beloved community is the goal of whatever new church we're going to be starting. That work is going now, and we're starting to figure out, I'm starting to figure out what that's going to look like. And that too, the goal is this beloved community. The goal is not to start a church for the sake of starting a church, although I should tell Justin Grimm that. The goal is to build the beloved community on the east side, in our neighborhood, to get to know our neighbors, to learn how to listen to people, to learn how to build trust, and to make people's lives better in the name of Jesus and with the love of Jesus. That's the goal here. That's the idea. So we're going to talk a lot this year about the kingdom of God, about the beloved community, about the realm of God, whatever term we use on a given day. The idea is that's where we're going. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're trying to find. And today's parables can actually help us do that. I want to take a moment to talk about actual gardening, because all these parables about sowing seeds and planting things and growing things, I don't do the planting. My wife and my in-laws have planted all kinds of plants at my house, and we got like a garden going with like the raised beds thing and all that this year. I didn't do any of it. I didn't drop a single seed in the ground. My brothers were texting about the failures in their gardens this week. My one brother has terrible soil, and he does all this stuff to it every year, and nothing grows, and he's just bummed about it. My wife Sarah complained that she planted 3 rows of beans this year, and only 8 plants came up. Tragic, because we really like beans. And yet, even with all that, we don't know how many beans it'll produce. Maybe they'll just be wimpy, wispy little plants that won't come to anything. Or maybe they'll flourish and there'll be beans all over the place. We'll be picking out beans all the year. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know how it works. That's one of the great things about this first parable. It says, he plants the seed and night and day and night and day, and it sprouts and it grows. He does not know how. And that he does not know how is hilariously such grace to my ears, at least. Because just as in the garden, we don't quite know how it works. It's this, I mean, kind of the science, you know, it makes some sense. And we can figure it out and we can do our best. But ultimately, it's not up to us whether the plants grow or not. We can't control that. We can set the conditions. We can do our best. We can, you know, invest whatever time and money, and we can pull weeds and water and do all these things. We can do all these things, but ultimately we don't control whether the plants grow or flourish or what they produce. That's not up to us. And we don't ultimately know how God does this thing. And it's, those words are grace to me as we think about all of these ways, all these partnerships, all these new opportunities that we have as Hope Church to live into the future, to leave a legacy of the beloved community on the east side. I mean, that's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to leave a legacy of beloved community. In the someday when this church is no longer here in its current form. And we don't know how it works. But instead of being afraid that we don't know how, and of trying to control it and trying to fix it and make it perfect, all we have to do is trust in God. Because God knows how that works. God knows how that works, right? God knows how that works. It's not up to me. It's not up to us. Yes, we can make effort. We can do our best. We can pray. We can listen to one another. And really, listening and praying and listening. And occasionally, every once in a while, talking. That's pretty much the, those are pretty much the tools that we can use. There's some other things too, but those are the basics. You pray, you listen, and then you talk a little bit. And you pray and you listen, and then you don't talk that time. And then you pray and you listen, and maybe you have something to say. When we listen to one another, listen to our neighbors, listen to the stories people have coming out of COVID, listen to the stories of people's lives, listen to the stories of what God has meant for them, and then be able to learn to tell our own stories of what God has meant for us in Jesus. Those are some of the tools that we can use to help build up the beloved community. Now, I said I don't really grow plants. I don't know much about plants. I don't do plants. I like animals in nature. But I remember in my first apartment when I moved to Kalamazoo for my first church call, right? I like went to the store one day and I needed some basil. So I was like, I'm gonna buy the basil plant. That looks easier than the little thing, right? We'll see what happens. So I get the little plant and I bring it home. I use some basil here and there, and then I see that it's kind of, I'm like, well, this is, I mean, I gotta just cut this off. I gotta figure this out. So I take all the leaves off the basil plant. And I put them in the whatever, and I make, I don't know, maybe make some pesto or whatever I did with it. And then I got this, like, dead plant sitting there, and I think, well, I'm not, whatever. And I'm lazy and foolish, and so I just leave it. I just leave it sit there, right? Little did I know that basil just brings leaves back. And so days later, I come and look at this dead plant, I think, and there's leaves on it again. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have to do anything. This is amazing. This is the best investment I ever made at the grocery store. And that basil plant lived, like, 3 years there. I just kept pulling all the leaves off, and they kept just sprouting back. He does not know how, right? It was wonderful. I don't know how really helpful that is. I guess the point is, even when I'm an idiot, God can still do amazing things. And I'm not going to say, I'm talking about me personally. I'm not going to apply that to you. You do with that as you will, you and your own faith and self-understanding. But for me, even if I'm an idiot, I know that God can use what I do, or God can just work around me to do amazing things. And eventually, when I notice what God is doing, because I stopped paying attention, because I stopped doing the work, then I can re-engage. I can go back. I can harvest those basil leaves, right? I can go back and restart and get involved again. God's always giving us new opportunities to be involved in this beloved community. It's not... Because this community doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on any of us individually. It does depend a little bit on all of us together. A little bit. And so as we go forward in this year of all years, the year of our Lord 2021, we are looking for the beloved community. We're looking for the realm of God, the kingdom of God. We're seeking it. We're going to find glimpses of it. And when we do, pursue them, follow them, ask questions, learn more, grab a hold, and try to see how you can be part of, how we can be part of that beloved community. And as we do so, trust in God. Trust in God, because God is the one responsible for this growth. God is the one who's going to do the real work. We just join in. And all we can do is kind of stay ready. And we can stay ready by reading the scriptures, by worshiping, by remembering the story of Jesus and telling the story of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his love for his friends and for us and for the whole world. We keep it in mind. And when we have those stories in mind, when we have that trust in God at the forefront of our mind, then we will see it. And we'll dare to participate, to try to be a part of it. I think that we can pull off this National Night Out Music on the Blacktop thing, even though it's back up to August 3rd and it's less than 2 months away and we're slow and we didn't do all the stuff and Carol can't do all the things she's done in the past. And Carol, thank you so much for all of those things that you've done and for the things you will do this time, even though they're not the same things. They're still going to be really important. We couldn't do it without you. And we will talk to the other churches, and I do think they're going to want to be involved. And I do think we can still have a wonderful and lovely celebration. And I think people in the neighborhood, they're going to want to be back out. They're going to want to see people. They're going to want to see their neighbors after a year of not being sure. And hopefully far enough into the summer where people feel safe coming out on the street and interacting with one another and getting some hopefully delicious food. This is the thing. I think we can do this. I think that that event can be a glimpse of the beloved community, of the kingdom of God. I think it'll work. I don't know how. Believe me. I don't know how. And some of you are going to have to do some work, and some of us are going to have to do some work. But I think it can happen. And I think that God can do something with that event and with the relationships that are formed there. So go forth with confidence and hope and maybe a little nervousness because God's probably going to ask you to do something you didn't think you wanted to do. We're going to find this. We're going to pursue this beloved community. We're going to participate in it. We're going to give thanks to God for all that God has done for us and will do for us. Amen.